opposed to any of them. I just don't want them together.
I hear that.
This is Wendy.
Yes, Wendy.
I'm sorry. I was muted, and I was explaining something about the sex life to my 7-year-old son. So I missed what you guys, what is it that you're talking about separating or voting on here?
Wendy, next time you do that, leave it on. That's probably much more interesting than on me.
I know.
Richard, would you like to argue your point again?
Wendy.
So what's the motion? That's what I want to know.
It's the first motion, number 5, Wendy, the call for election support.
Okay, but I'm in my car, so...
There are 3 paragraphs, first-class mail, and then we ask for a donation, and the 3rd paragraph was that we send along a survey. And I made a motion to divide the first 2 paragraphs from the 3rd one, make them separate resolutions, because the survey is really not necessary as part of the election. It could get very controversial about what to send, and, you know, surveys can be set up different ways. You can find out, you can get any answer you want if you write the questions the right way.
Okay, I get it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so no politics really in the first 2, but there's potential for it, tying everything up in the 3rd one.
Okay.
Anyone else want to address this?
I will, but I'd like to hear others since I've spoken.
Well, go ahead, Ted. No one else seems to want to speak.
I'll say something. This is Wendy. I think Richard's being overly suspicious. I haven't heard of any... nobody ever thought to mess with the survey. The whole fight has been... I mean, I agree. I understand what you're saying, but the whole... fight has been to get the survey done. I think you're being a little bit overly optimistic. I mean not pessimistic. And I don't know. I don't have a problem. I'll vote for it either way if you want to divide it or not. I understand that you guys are dealing with things that I haven't dealt with, but I can't imagine anybody objecting to a survey.
I'm going to put myself on the stack that wants to be on the stack. And who please?
Can I respond to that particular thing?
Yes, please. But who is next after?
I'd like to speak after Richard.
Wow.
All right, Richard, go ahead, and then
Wendy. Wendy, last year, our interim GM sent out without even talking to the LSB, and it was a horrible survey, in my opinion. And it didn't do really much good in a lot of ways. But the point is, it wasn't even discussed. It was just sent. So there is the potential for political game playing with that.
Okay,
Ted, you're next, I believe.
Am I in there?
Yes, Melinda after Mary. Mm-hmm. Ted, Mary, and then Melinda I have. Ted?
Okay, if Richard would be willing to put that the survey has to be approved by the national board, I would be fine with that. But we have struggled at KPFT to even do a survey. There have been lots of important decisions made based on anecdotal information, and the struggle has been to get any kind of solid information from our membership. I think I'd like to throw this out for discussion, but I hope that people will support the idea that whatever survey is developed is approved by the national board before it is finally sent out, so it's not under the control of the general managers. But we desperately, desperately need to know what our membership thinks.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mary?
Yeah, I agree with Wendy and I agree with Ted. Whatever. I don't see a problem with the survey that everyone is going to have the same survey. And if we want to, you know, tighten up the process for how we get the survey approved, whether by the PNB or whatever, that's fine. But the fact that it's going to be the same survey for everybody, I mean, good, bad, or indifferent, we'll learn something, and we don't have to have a perfect survey. I mean, it's better to have something than nothing.
Wait,
I think
we
desperately need that.
Excuse me, Melinda is next. Mary has the floor. Mary, are you finished?
Yeah, well, it's okay if, I mean, I would just as soon as, I'm not going to object to dividing, but I really want to see that we get the survey in the package. I don't want it left out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Melinda?
Well, personally, I've seen actually firsthand how polls can go both ways. I've seen very slanted ones, and I've also seen those that were not, because I spent 9 years, well, actually 9 years working for Gallup, and about a year and a half working for a company that I would consider to be fairly slanted. I would say that it's fairly simple to, you just have to make sure that you don't put weighted words in it. And you need to write it with the understanding. You don't go for, you don't write it in such a way that you would elicit only yes or no answers. Mm-hmm. It's better to have something where you give people an opportunity to put their particular viewpoint. But I think that really, we really need to find some way of getting the opinions of people, because that's been one thing frustrating at KPFT. And that is that we've had very unsuccessful polls here. And I think it causes a great deal of misunderstanding of who our actual audience is. And if we don't know who our actual people are and what they're looking for, how in the world can we provide for them what they need?
Right.
That's my thought.
I'd like to put myself on the stack here, since I had something to do with drafting this. I think I agree with Richard's point, and I think that dividing it is fine. I do think we need a survey, and I think he's correct that it might cause some contention here and there before it's finished. So I would go along with dividing it. Someone just come on or go off?
Left.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Uh-huh. Anyone else want to speak on the issue?
I just want to add that the cost of doing a separate survey from the election would be one more way to prevent it from happening.
Right.
Can I speak again, Carolyn?
I'm sorry, Ted, point of clarification. Ted, what exactly do you mean a separate survey? You mean a separate mailing or a survey included with the
I'm saying that if we don't include it in the mailing, it will be very expensive and it probably will not happen.
Oh, I don't think that was Richard's intention. Was it, Richard?
No, my intention is very clear. I just don't want the first-class mail going down if a big food fight comes up about a survey and we can't come to unity on it. That's why you separate them. I'm for both. I think surveys are great, but I just don't want them mixed together because they have totally two different reasons for existing.
If we separated the motion, the last paragraph would say the same survey for all stations be included in the mailing with the ballots. Would that satisfy your objection, Ted?
I thought it was Richard's objection that he wanted to do the survey independent from the election and the election mailing.
No, all I want to do is separate the motion so that if they're not all or nothing. Okay.
Well, I understand that. You don't need a vote to do that. I thought this was all separated. But when we vote on the issue of the survey, are you saying that you want the mailing of the survey to be done independent of the mailing for the election?
No, I'm not worried about that. That should go together. But my point is, if for some reason we can't get unity, I'm dealing with a parliamentary reality here. This is one motion. Okay, it's all tied up together. I just want to make it clear that these are two separate things that we're saying need to get done. One, first-class postage and try to get money to cover it, and two, a survey. And so we have two different motions that we pass and send to them.
Okay,
that way they're distinct and clear that we want both of these things done, but they're not part of one motion that, well, gee, we couldn't get this part done, so we're not doing any of it.
So your motion was to divide, and one and two would be one motion, and three would be another. Are we ready to vote on that?
On the dividing.
On dividing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The
division, anybody can ask for a division. It doesn't require a vote.
Oh, it doesn't?
Oh, really?
No.
I never heard of that.
In a committee meeting, come on. You just need, if he wants to separate it, let's separate it.
Are there any objections? Let me put it that way.
It's in essence, you know, a substitute motion of sort,
mm-hmm.
because you're separating what somebody first made a motion for.
I've heard no objection.
You're moving to separate. I hear no objection. So, in effect, is everybody ready to vote then on the motion as divided, which will then be written up as two separate motions, effectively?
Well, Carolyn, somebody just mentioned that they didn't hear an objection. If there's no objections, we don't have to vote.
All right, that's fine.
Carolyn, writing.
Wait a minute.
Carolyn?
Excuse me. Point of information, I'm really confused. We don't have to vote about dividing.
Not if there's no objection.
Well, but I thought we were, I think people are thinking about dividing. I don't know. I have a hard time with that because I didn't understand the reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe we need to take a vote on whether to divide. And then,
first you just ask, are there any objections?
To dividing.
Oh, we just did, and Mary just expressed...
To dividing, not the whole thing, just to dividing. Yeah.
Right, right. So, Mary, you're objecting to dividing it?
No, I'm not.
You're not.
Good. Then if nobody's objecting, don't anybody say anything for 3 seconds and we can move on.
Okay.
All right, did somebody just come on or go off?
Oh, that'd be Patty's on.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
I'm on 2 conference calls at the same time, so...
Oh, yes, you're not
forgive
wrong.
Me.
That's all right. Finance is still going on?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Well, that makes 9.
Are they still on KPFK?
More or less.
No. I mean,
you guys haven't spent all our money yet?
Are they still on KPFK?
They're trying. They like large budgets, so the national office has plenty of money to spend.
Anyway, so there's no objection. So then, is it divided? Then we can vote each one and get on with this. This doesn't need to take all night.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
Mary, do you want to...
So now the first part is...
The first two paragraphs.
The first two paragraphs, but for those who don't have them, that the PNB Elections Committee strongly recommends that any election ballots be mailed first class with postage paid return envelopes. Further, it recommends that a request for members to use their own stamps and make a donation specifically to offset the cost of the election mailing be included with the ballots. That's what...
Right on.
Okay. Will anybody object?
I'll abstain.
You should call the roll just to see who's... I'm sorry?
I'll abstain.
Oh, someone's abstaining?
Yeah, Terry's also abstaining.
Okay.
If you're going to pass without objection.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, Lavarne.
I'm sorry.
We're voting on those first two paragraphs of the agenda about the Elections Committee, the first class postage.
Yes.
Huh? What?
I'm sorry, what is the question?
Are you in favor of the Election Committee recommending that ballots go out first class mail with postage?
Well, absolutely. May I speak to the survey thing also?
Well, not
well,
yet.
We haven't come to that yet.
Okay. So, yes. Okay.
Yes, that's why I said yes.
Okay. Richard?
Yes.
Me, yes. Terry?
Abstain.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you said that already. Oh, well. Wendy? Well, I'll come back to her.
Birds and the bees again.
Okay. Ted?
Yes.
Melinda? Ooh, what happened to everybody? Patty?
Abstain.
Say yes?
Huh? Are you abstaining, Patty?
Yeah, I'll pass for the moment.
Oh, this is Melinda.
Melinda. Yeah, I put you down as a pass. Okay, and wait a minute now. So Patty's abstaining?
Carolyn votes yes.
Okay. And Serene and Rob aren't here, so okay. Is Wendy? I put her down as fast just because is she there? Wendy, hello. Earth to Wendy. Okay. Well, Melinda.
Melinda voted yes, but Patty wanted to pass.
Oh, I thought Melinda wanted to pass.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe did
I don't know.
Patty abstain.
Patty
said
yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Patty, what are you doing?
Where is Melinda?
I'm here.
What? You voted what?
Yes.
Oh, now you vote yes. Okay.
I did.
Oh, you did. I misunderstood that. Okay. So, all that's missing is Wendy. So, okay, well, it passes anyway. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 6 yes and 0 no's and 2 abstainings. Okay? So, it passes.
All right, thank you. And
so now we go to the other part. The PNB Elections Committee recommends that a survey of listeners, including demographics and listening preferences, be devised, and that the same survey for all stations be included in the mailing with the ballots. Okay, does anyone want to speak to it, or do you want to take a vote?
I would like to speak to. I'd like to insert a comma after listeners and another one after preferences.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes better sense. Okay. Well, that's no one objects to that, do they?
No.
Anyone
without objection?
Now, who
wait. This is Ted.
Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Ted would like to speak to this.
Yes.
Okay.
Ted.
I would like to speak to this.
Carolyn, am I up?
Ted, Mary, anybody else?
Terry.
Taking a stack? Terry. All right. And someone else, I think Lauren said she wanted to speak to it, and I don't know if she's still
she
with
did.
Us. Okay. All right, Ted, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Well, I something was said about if we don't know what our listeners want, then we're not going to be able to respond to their desires. But I think something, and I haven't figured out the language of this yet, so I would hope that I'll get some help from a member of this committee. But something needs to be said about the broader community, especially the community that we think has perhaps the hidden majority, the silent majority that may have an affinity for Pacifica but doesn't know that we exist. I think we need to also do something to survey beyond our current ranks. If we only ask the people who are current listeners what they want and do not ask the broader community, we're never going to be totally, we're not going to grow these five stations. I think we need to also have
it. But it's not germane here. Refers to the...
That can't be sent out with the ballots, because we can only send ballots.
Only to the ballots, yes, thank you.
I understand that, but what I am suggesting is, and it is germane, I would suggest, that we also recommend a survey of conducted to the broader community. If we only do the one without the other, we have a skewed view of what people in our communities want.
Point of order.
This is Melinda. I'd like to be put in the stack.
Yes,
Mary Berger,
yes, with
a point of order.
Yes, Mary.
I mean, I think we're talking about, you know, something to do with the ballots right now, and this is the election committee, and I think that's a very good point, but I don't think it's part of this. And
I think
it would be appropriate
to make a
substitute motion about that, because that's not the topic. We're talking about election support here.
Elections are not outreach.
And I think that was not germane. But, Mary, your next point was you were on the stack now.
Oh, yeah. I really think that we should okay this, and I think the survey should definitely go in the ballot. I think that's a wonderful idea, and if it's imperfect, okay, we'll make a better survey next time, but we'll find out something which is better than nothing. I there's a thing about the perfect being the enemy of the good, so I just hope everybody will vote for this, and even though it's divided in our voting, it will then come together, and it will go in the same envelope, which is otherwise is never going to happen anywhere.
Terry?
So I'm hoping people will vote yes.
All right, thank you. Terry?
I'd like to insert the word that in the final phrase between and the.
And that, okay. That's very nice and balanced. Great.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Lauren?
Thank you. I definitely support this for the survey, but I just wanted to add that it's very important in terms of what the language is in the survey, because our experience is that there was a survey that had gone out and, it basically put forth a certain position and asking for a certain answers to support a certain position. So when we do a survey, we have to be really careful in terms of who takes the responsibility to do it, and that it's actually the survey is in support of the mission and not in support of someone's personal or some group's agenda. That's it. Thank you.
Melinda?
Well, actually, I would hope that it would be more not in support of anything as much as it's asking just basically what are you looking for in a radio station?
This is Steve Walker. I just dialed in.
Oh, great.
Yes, hello, Steve. Right on time, too. We're just finishing up with a vote on this motion preceding... your presentation. Thank you.
Okay. I will be quiet then.
Thank you.
But that was only part of my thought.
Sure.
The other thing is, I just wanted to reiterate what I was saying earlier, and that is that as far as being an outreach thing, given the fact this would be going with a ballot, obviously the only people that are going to be able to vote on this and who would be getting that would be people who are already members. So that other part would be more of an outreach concept.
Exactly.
Good point. Well, are we ready to vote on this?
I'm not. This is Ted.
Ted, yes.
Carolyn, I want to either make an amendment or, if it's friendly, fine, and that is that the survey receive the stamp of approval or be approved before by the PNB before its dissemination.
What part of the PNB? The whole thing or a committee?
Yeah. No, the whole PNB. If they want to delegate it to a committee, that's up to them. But at this point, I don't think we need to tell them how they approve it.
Well, if I may, Ted, I think everything this committee does gets sent to the PNB in a report for acceptance or not.
No, I'm saying the survey needs to be, some group may draft the survey, even if it's a general manager who drafts it. Richard made the point earlier that surveys drafted by general managers sometimes do not are not good surveys. I want the survey to be approved by the PNB before dissemination.
Okay.
The
my point is that in the normal course of things, it would be simply because it would go to the PNB from this committee.
I'm saying the content of the survey must be approved by the PNB before distribution.
Are you making this motion that the survey is?
If it's not accepted as friendly, I am.
Well, there is no such thing as friendly.
Yeah, right. That would be a motion to amend, after the word survey in that paragraph to say, which shall be approved by the Pacifica National Board.
Can't we have a separate sentence?
Right.
So
the content of the survey will be approved by the National Board.
Can we just add that sentence rather than sticking, so there's two sentences, because it's just awkward to read all that. Okay, so the survey must be approved.
Of the survey.
The content of the survey.
Shall be approved by the Pacifica National Board.
The survey must be approved by the PNB before dissemination. Is that what you want?
Yes. Sounds fine to me.
Okay. Any objections to that?
Yes, an objection.
All right.
Who has an objection?
Terry.
Terry. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Terry,
what's your objection?
I think requiring PNB approval for the survey just adds an impediment to having a survey devised.
So too, but
that if we do not specify how the survey is to be devised, then something will come up that will either be fair or unfair, and we'll deal with it at the time. But I'd prefer not to have the impediment.
Can I go on a stack?
Anyone else?
Richard,
yes. Uh-huh.
I have a point of information. We're voting on this amendment by itself, right? Vote on the main motion.
Right.
That is correct.
That's what I'm speaking to. I think the amendment's fine, because I think if you step back for a second, Terry, if it's going to go out to all five stations, then it really needs to be, and like Ted said, it can be, the PNB doesn't have to do it themselves, but they should supervise it, because it's not any one station survey. It's going to be a common survey for all the stations. So
may I respond?
I just think that it would be good to have some, because of the problem we had, you know, at KPFA, I'd like to see some centralized review.
All right. Yes, Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that if we have a competent executive director, he could make the decision on the content of the survey.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else want to speak to this?
Yeah, I do. I think it's...
Well, that's an assumption, but...
Mary has the floor, please.
I think it's just another piece of red tape, and I don't think it prevents any kind of thing. Five managers are not going to agree, because their whole positions are terribly different, so And it's not. I would rather not specify who does the survey or who has to approve it. It just seems to make more of a snaggle, and I desperately want to have a survey. It's not, nothing, no consequences ensue from it that are life and death. It's just a small tool, a small piece of information that we need. We're not, we don't need to burden it into some, I don't know what. So I personally am not in favor of that amendment.
All right, I think we're probably ready to vote on this.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Who is this, please?
Ted.
Ted, again.
I would like to point out that if we don't include this, and of course the PNB can amend this in any way they so choose, but if we don't include this in the motion, it will be one of those things that may get lost in the shuffle, and as a result, it may not get done. I think that by saying, look, this is the responsibility of the PNB, that it will be more assuredly accomplished, and I think Mary's saying, well, we don't need to say who is responsible for this, we'll leave this whole debate open to the PNB. It'll take their time that they don't really have, and I think this makes it much easier for them to have a fully developed motion without the lengthy debate that we're having right now. So I hope people will support the amendment.
Okay.
We're ready to vote, Mary.
I'd just like to say one thing. It's Richard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Which is, you know, my understanding of how this corporation and all corporations work, anything that's done that's corporation-wide falls under the purview of the PNB. And they can delegate it to the executive director, or they can delegate it to one of the janitors at one of the stations if they want to. But it's a national survey, essentially, but we're going to do the same one to all five stations. And so it belongs in their purview to decide how it's done. I mean, that's what they're there for.
So are you saying to vote for it or against it? Then we wouldn't need to vote
for it. Yes, of course. I think it's redundant, actually, but I think it's just more directive. I think it's given in the fact that of the nature of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, people, okay. I think we need to move along here.
Okay, yeah, I think so. Shall we? Okay, wait.
This is Wendy, so I had to step away for a minute. So now we're voting on this same motion, and we've been adding a thing that says that the survey must be approved by the National Board?
The content of the survey must be approved by the PNB prior to dissemination. That's the thing
and,
we're voting
and the
on
rest
now.
The rest of the motion is what?
Well, the rest of the motion...
I'm sorry, guys.
We're not voting on that at the moment, but the rest of it is...
Oh, we're going
to
vote on just...
We're on the third paragraph only, Wendy. This is the third paragraph we're dealing with.
We're just voting on that.
On
okay,
that
I call the question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see.
Actually,
here.
We're voting
Lavarn?
Add in the amendment.
We're just voting on the amendment.
We're just on the amendment first.
Yeah, Lavarn?
Oh, I'll pass.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Richard?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, myself? No. Terry?
No.
Wendy?
No.
Ted?
Yes.
And Melinda? Melinda, I'll just put her down as...
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great. Patty? Put her down as
mm-hmm.
Who passed?
Well, no, I'm just saying she's passed.
Oh yeah, I put her down as passed. Okay, Carolyn.
I'm going to vote no.
Okay, so we have Lavarn passed.
I'm back. I'll say no.
Okay. Patty? Is she?
I think she's talking in the other conference.
Oh, okay, she's in the other one. Okay, well it's three yes. And five no, so it fails. Okay.
All right, so I'm going to write the survey tomorrow.
Well, you have to get everybody. Okay, you can write it tomorrow, but that doesn't mean it's going to fly in all five stations.
Yeah, but
okay.
Now we have a vote on the main motion.
On the main
However,
motion.
I'm wondering if we can move to our special order because Stephen Walker.
Well, can we just vote on this main motion and have it done with?
If there's no discussion, if there's going to be a discussion...
Are there any
objections?
It was already... Wait a minute. Point of order. It was already... Or point of something. It was already approved without exception.
All right, fine.
So why do we have to? We've already approved those two things unanimously. Those first two paragraphs.
Well, we just amended paragraphs.
Oh, the survey. We haven't. Okay. We haven't voted on the survey.
Been, accepted as amended.
You're right. We haven't voted on the survey as stated. Okay. So now that's the main motion. You're right. My mind's gone. Okay.
Is there objection?
Are there any objections? In which case, I'd like to postpone the discussion until after.
Well, let's just
if
see.
If there's no objection, then it passes.
All right. Can we pass that as amended then?
Beautiful.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
No, it wasn't amended.
It wasn't amended.
That's
right. That was not amended.
Okay.
Just some commas and words.
So,
correct.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is, we introduced Stephen Walker from the Election Services Corporation. And I know he's had some talks with LeBarn and with me about what we do, and I know Stephen will probably tell you himself, but I know he spent a good deal of time looking at the election reports from the last couple of years and would like to talk to us about what his company does and could do to help us run the elections next year.
Personal privilege. Terry has to drop off the call. I'll try to call back in from work.
All right. Oh. How long do you think that'll be, Terry?
I'll try to call back in 45 minutes.
Oh, all right. That's
good. I hope.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Everyone still there?
Yes, except for Terry.
Oh, okay.
I
don't know what all the tones are. I am based out in Marin, California, which is just north of San Francisco and Oakland. And our company is headquartered on Long Island. And my job at the company is to design and develop election systems for various organizations. I work primarily with associations, but I do a lot of work with labor unions and credit unions. And I had a chance to look over a lot of the information that has been published on the Internet regarding the past election and wanted to talk to you about what your plans were for the upcoming 2006 election, because this year is an off year. And then tell you a little bit about our approach to managing a large membership-wide election. One of the first things that we focus on or ask our clients to focus on is who their membership is. Very few problems occur at tabulation. Most problems occur well in advance during nominations or even the definition of who is a member, and I've read in several reports that has been an ongoing problem, and it is something that I can't emphasize enough that you put a lot of effort and focus on. What we would like to do for you is get involved in this process from the very beginning and help you with some of these problems. Not necessarily correcting them or doing the database management work or writing software, because that is not that's not what we do. We are very much an election company, but we do rely on accurate data in a membership database and do know some things about updating addresses and helping with duplicate entries. There are people, though, that very systematically or even maliciously try and get themselves listed three or four times just so they can say they beat the system. And somebody who is really willfully trying to do that, we are not going to be able to catch. But we can find a very simple data entry mistakes in the case of someone named Steve or Steven in a database. There are software programs that do that. And then we would also be interested in helping you all in the election supervisor's role and also developing rules and procedures for the local election supervisors and their boards. There seems to be a lack of coordination between all those various entities. Are you all still there?
Yeah, one person left.
Oh, okay.
Two tones means someone left, and one tone means someone came on.
If you have a question, please Please speak up, because I'm just sitting here in a room talking. I want to make sure that
we're all sitting in a room.
Oh, okay, so we're all in the same boat.
Well, there are 8 or 9 of us, and we're listening raptly. So
okay.
If you get interrupted, it may be more than you want.
Right.
No, that's okay. I'm happy to answer.
Be careful what you ask for.
But you know, when we first come into an election, we look at the bylaws and we look at any election procedures or rules that an organization has established, and we follow them. Our company is hired to run an election as it is stated, and we will work with an election committee in the event of any questions or concerns that come up.
Excuse me, did someone just come on the call?
Yeah.
It was just me. I went off and went back on the non-charging call. I just saw that message on the email.
Oh, good enough. Thank you.
Save some money for the foundation. That's all.
Okay.
And I think that by getting involved in the beginning and pointing out and writing rules as they are described in the bylaws really goes a long way to letting candidates know what's going on, letting members know what's going on, and they if we're consistent throughout the entire process, we're able to prevent a lot of problems or issues down the road. We have a lot of experience working in very tense and contentious situations, particularly with labor unions. And I also personally have some experience working with the KQED election process several years ago. They haven't had an election in years. But when they did, it was somewhat contentious, and I felt they did a pretty good job at making the playing field very level and assuring the candidates that this was going to be a fair and unbiased election, including telling some petitioners that they did not qualify, and you know, I didn't have any bone to pick with that particular individual. They just didn't get enough qualified signatures. So, you know, bringing in an outside agency to act as a trusted third party can go a long way in diffusing a lot of the accusations that sometimes come up during an election process. We also would be interested in using some of your volunteer network to help in the processing during our
excuse me, could you say that again? You'd be also interested in what with our volunteers?
In using your volunteer network or the local volunteers to help
mm-hmm.
with the processing of the returns. You know, a lot of ballots come in and they all have to be opened, and we use optical character readers to read the ballots, and in some cases they aren't always filled out properly.
Right.
While we wouldn't ask a volunteer to correct anything, they can certainly set it aside for an
mm-hmm.
election committee to determine what somebody's intent was. And I should also stress that we don't make those determinations. There should be a committee, and I think there is, at the local level that determines what somebody's intent is. A lot of people cross out their marks and put something else down. We have a program that can do the single transferable vote process. I think that's a great way to run a board election, particularly when there are, I should say a delegate election, particularly when there are so many candidates and you're selecting so many. You want to make sure that everybody's vote does matter, and this is certainly a way of ensuring that. Let's see, I had some other notes here I wanted to tell you about. Does anybody have any questions?
Well,
so
I'd rather hear the whole thing.
Okay. Well, in my last conversation with Carolyn, we had talked about how our company could get involved in the beginning to help shape some of the procedures and rules that you all would follow and also help with making all the policies that the local election boards used, making them consistent. We had a discussion about doing the work of the national election supervisor, although that we were kind of a little unclear on how that might work out. But I think there's a great opportunity to get started on this process well in advance. So those who are concerned about the process know what's going on, and those who are interested in running know how to do it and are able to get their petitions in and are able to campaign properly. And those who may be interested in being less than ethical in their campaigning know that there are rules and guidelines in place, and that there are people watching out for them, and you know that in the spirit of an honest election, you know that won't be tolerated. And if these procedures are set in place, you can always point to them and say the rule is ABC, and you didn't follow it. So I don't exactly know what a punishment would be, but I think there's probably something, some sort of action that could be taken to send a message to somebody that is trying to gain an advantage using a method that wouldn't be that breaks the rules. We would also be very interested in doing the direct mail part of the process. And we also have a system that uses the internet as well, and that can save you some money, because we start that process well in advance by sending out emails asking members if they would be interested in getting election information electronically as opposed by the mail. And when they respond to that email, they have given us permission to email to them as opposed to direct mailing to them. And prior to the mail day, we would send another note to that email address to make sure it is still valid, and to also make sure that our message got through. There are a lot of spam filters out there that see bulk emails or blast emails, and they don't let them through. So we would be confirming that the communication line is open, and that the email is getting through. When somebody receives an email, there is a link on that email that has login or the PIN on it. So all the member has to do is click on that link. It takes them right to our voting page, and they only see the candidates in which they are eligible or for which they are eligible to vote. There are 10 separate elections that go on, two for each station. And so while somebody might be qualified as a listener, the person, someone that they know well might be on the staff, and they would see a totally different set of candidates. Same thing would happen on the mailing side. We would send out specific ballots to each member, only showing the candidates that they could vote for. I don't necessarily think there is a need for a secret ballot envelope. We put control numbers on our ballots, so we know who has sent it back. It also helps us with the with determining which race they're voting for, although the names of the candidates would make it obvious. The machine just reads marks in response boxes. So in this case, the machine's actually looking for numbers to do the rankings. The tabulation side might involve a little manual entry, as some people's sixes and eights or threes and eights.
Some people what, please?
Their handwriting can be the machine. The machine isn't absolutely sure what the number is, it will stop and ask the operator to
right.
key in the number. So I don't want you to think that the technology is lightning fast. It's efficient, but it does involve some level of interpretation. I was talking about the processing side. We would do the local the processing at each radio station, and we'd accomplish that by having the ballots delivered or returned to each of those localities into a post office box. The post office would hold the mail behind the counter until we came to pick it up on tabulation day, so there wouldn't be any question about ballot tampering or having them sitting around the station, so someone could go through and look at who returned them. If somebody requested a duplicate, we would send it out to them, but their file would be coded with the new sequence number. So if the original return had come back and the duplicate comes back, the system stops and only records one of them. And it would be up to the election committee to decide whether it took the original ballot or the duplicate. We don't want to deny anybody the opportunity to cast a ballot, but we will look at all the returns and determine which ballots are eligible. And I think there's some question about somebody's membership status changing during a certain period of time, during the eligibility time and the time in which the ballot goes out. And in that case, we can examine who has returned all the ballots, and if somebody is aware of a change in a voter's status, we can flag that ballot and either remove it from the system, or if it's a case of a change during the process, we can issue a new one. I guess in this case, someone would change from being a staff person to a listener or vice versa, and issue them a new ballot and then remove the original one from the tabulation table. While we rely on a lot of electronics and technology, everything is auditable because we can print it out and look at the code that comes back. It's actually not very difficult to read. The voters identified by a unique code, and then their responses are done in binary marks. It works out. Any questions so far? Concerns or? I'm sure you all have individual or station-related questions.
I'm curious how you determine the cost. I mean, there's a range here of involvement that you could provide, and so what kind of range of price would you say, just from the least involvement to the most involvement, what would the range be?
Well, the least involvement for us would involve taking a membership file from you, printing and mailing ballots, and then tabulating them upon the return at each different station. And I think you all have around 100,000 members. Is that correct?
Probably more.
That sounds good.
It's a yes.
Maybe that's right.
100,000. It's easier for me to do the math in my head.
Okay, well, that's good enough.
Let's just say it was 100,000.
Yeah.
We're 100,000, excluding postage and the travel fee to get, we would send two operators to each location. In the event one has to take a break.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that. We need to know that cost. The postage, we can understand.
There's postage, and I think...
we can do, but the other cost, the operators, we would need to know.
Can I just ask a question? If we're talking about third-class postage, it's like 10 cents each?
No, we're talking about first class. We just passed.
If it's first class, it's 37 cents each?
Yeah. Well, we just talked about...
That would be discounted probably down to $0.30. You can do pre-sorts on that.
Okay.
But I think we would charge 50 cents a member to do that most basic service plus whatever travel costs. I mean, the staff either flies from California or New York.
What sort of cost would that be, roughly?
Yeah, may I interrupt for a minute here, Mary?
Hmm.
And Stephen, we went through some of this, and I don't know, Mary, if you had a chance to look at that spreadsheet that Lonnie sent us for the elections costs. Some of those costs were quite, I think, unrealistic, and we don't want to duplicate those. But I think if we're going to get into costs with Stephen, maybe we should talk about asking him to give us some figures, you know, in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Or else come back to a meeting and look and see how we can improve on what we spent already.
This was just a ballpark idea I was trying for.
Yeah, well, rather than make him figure out the math at this point, I don't know if that's the best use of his time now, although
right.
I'm curious, too, to know how much it's... I already hear an improvement. I think last time we had 3 members in each station, and the total travel cost for all 5 stations came to over $50,000.
I like the idea of using our current volunteer pool,
mm-hmm.
because they're very eager to help
yeah.
with this. That's great.
Yeah, I you know, people are genuinely good, and they want to help. We have very specific rules and training for who's ever helping us, whether they're paid temporary, you know, temp workers or volunteers. And whenever there a question comes up, there's one of our staff is there to tell them what's going on. And if there are observers watching, we explain what's happening. You can imagine that on some of our ballots, people write comments regarding the election, and those comments hit a response box. Is that a vote, or is that somebody not interested
yeah.
in voting? What do you do with that? Well, an election committee will decide that.
Yeah.
You know, someone might write the number 1,000,000 next to a candidate. You know, that's a ridiculous
right.
number to write. But, you know, people do these things.
Stephen, I did have one question, if I may. We are supposed to be cleansing up once a year,
mm-hmm.
and in the summer before an election.
Okay.
And I don't know if we did that last year, but we're looking at how long before an election do you recommend that we do that? And do you have any suggestions for, can it be just done with any old mailing that the National Board sends out to all the members, which they do occasionally, or would it have to be a special mailing, which is much more expensive?
I think you could accomplish it with a general mailing, because our mailing will be a general mailing from the National Board. So the post office is going to look at, well, what did you do for your election mailing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did a mailing, and then we also ran the National Change of Address program, and that's going to give us that's going to make you eligible for the discounts.
Mm.
There are other list maintenance software programs that are able to look at likenesses of addresses to see if there are potential duplicates. And what they end up, I've seen them. We don't sell them or use them. We recommend using them. They end up generating lists of people that live at, that have the same address, people that have similar names, and then a membership director will have to go through that list to confirm whether or not that is indeed two separate people, or it's one person and they've been key punched in twice.
So you'd be capable of either recommending that or administering that kind of software overview?
I think we can administer that for uh-huh. you. I'll have to check.
Uh-huh.
We would farm it out. I mean, it's not something that we do in-house, and frankly,
uh-huh.
I would be more comfortable saying, you call this company and,
uh-huh.
and do it yourself, just because you'll want the results without us getting involved.
Yeah, well, we are looking at an audit, and the details of that, you know, we're still not sure of what that would entail. So this tells me one of the things that an audit, you know, would do. is what you're describing, you know, to look at the software and pick out duplicates that are not immediately obvious. I did have another question. Does anyone else have any other questions? I don't want to monopolize all.
Richard.
Richard, go ahead, please.
Well, I'm curious if we could work with you on a sort of a partial basis, because having been involved in both of the elections out here in Berkeley, the first one was organized by an election committee, and we had a local election supervisor who is a very, very organized and knows STV inside and out and has been involved in that kind of stuff for a long time. And basically, we did the whole thing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and it worked fine. And
we've had the three out here like that.
So I'm talking about official, you know, bylaws elections.
Right.
The other ones were for something else.
Well, yeah, but we had the procedure.
Well, I understand, Mary, but the point is they were different. And then the last time we had some people helping us, and it went okay, but, you know, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't as good a community activity. I mean, I don't know that the other stations have that kind of local community volunteers available that are that committed to it. There were a lot of people. I wasn't a candidate the first election. I was down there counting votes. And a lot of people were the whole weekend, and we just, you know, it was just an interesting thing. It developed a lot of spirit for the station and the election process, because many, many, many people came and participated and were trained and supervised and did things, and it was a good experience, the kind of thing that a community station could do, and I think helps build a rapport. A lot of people met each other that never met each other before, that were listener, you know, involved people. So I thought it was a good thing for the station. And I'm just wondering, I don't know if some of the stations could do that, but if, let's say, Berkeley was going to handle it by itself, could you do the other four? I don't know, I'm just throwing that out as a possibility.
I'm curious about that, too, because we did not just the counting of the ballots and stuff, but we designed the ballots, we did the whole thing, and we developed a fair expert. We've got some people who are pretty knowledgeable about all this by now. So, you know.
I think that's a very valid point, and I think that it's important to recognize that all elections are local, and that the community spirit is something that you don't want to destroy, because it's what you're all about. What I'm interested in doing is something more on a time and materials type basis. We can provide you with our level of expertise and advice, so that the local election supervisor is able to implement a program using the resources that he or she has through a community, through a volunteer system, but that all of the stations are following similar guidelines. And being able to coordinate that is something that I think that we can lend our expertise to. When it comes time to printing and mailing ballots, we're just able to accomplish an economy of scale, just simply because that's the business we're in. We're also able to bring in the scanners and the equipment that would be used to count the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
But I said that, you know, before, we would be interested mm-hmm. in using your volunteers. And we would plan to educate them and let them know, or train them rather, and let them know what's happening ahead of time. So on the day that we arrive, you know, there should be some level of excitement about going to the post office and picking up these ballots and getting started. You're right, it's an opportunity for a group of people to get together and get to know each other and accomplishing something that's very important to the organization. You know, watching the ballots scan through the machine isn't that exciting, but, you know, issues come up, and there will be opportunity for, I would hope, a volunteer committee to say, you know, that ballot is not valid because, and whatever their policy is
yeah.
one that they came up with.
We've already had that, you know.
We want to create a system that is developed with a lot of input from from your board and from the local stations, because they're only going to support it if they help create it. We just happen to know from experience some of the things that do work and that are efficient. But, you know, there are some particular circumstances or instances or issues that we don't know about, and so we have to work individually with the local